Matthew chapter 13. I'm glad that the Lord speaks to us in simple terms that we can, at least in our mind, get a hold of. We all understand the principle of taking a seed, whether it's a corn seed or bean seed or some kind of seed, and putting it in fertile ground, and then you stand back and you watch it grow. You watch it grow. I remember when I was in fourth or fifth grade, we had a project, and the teacher was teaching us something about growing plants, and we all took a little shriveled up seed that looked like it was just dead. And she said, "There's life in that seed." And we took that little seed and put it in a little cup. And then we watered it, and then we watched it, and sure enough, life came out of that little shriveled, dried up seed. Now in Matthew chapter 13, we have this parable of a sower. The Lord Jesus Christ gives in this chapter eight different parables. And each of these parables, they teach one lesson. And that one lesson is that salvation is of the Lord. That one lesson is a grand and glorious thought that God saves sinners on purpose by His grace and His grace alone. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega. That means He's the author and finisher. That means He's the beginning and the end of all salvation. He's the author of faith. He's the author of repentance. He gives repentance unto Israel. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is our redemption. He has delivered us from all our sin. And He is the one that gives us the new birth, makes us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. That leads us to this conclusion: all things are of God. All our salvation is the doing of God. We have no part in it other than we receive the seed. And He gives life. He gives life unto His people. Now, someone might ask, what is a parable? Well, it's a story. It's a story. What is a parable? The Lord gave many of them. And here's a good definition of a parable. A parable is an earthly story that teaches us a spiritual lesson, a spiritual gospel lesson, so that we might see our need of Christ and find rest and comfort only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what all these parables are about, is to teach us the gospel in a very, very simple way. We can, even a small child can grasp the meaning of putting a seed in the ground, watering it, and watching it grow. Now the disciples came to the Lord and asked Him a question there in verse 10. His disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables?" Why do you use these earthly illustrations? The Lord, you think about this, here is God Almighty manifest in the flesh. He could preach like no one else could preach. He could talk about things that would be so high and infinite that we'd never understand in our finite mind. But He uses simple earthly stories that we might in some way, by His grace and the revelation of God the Holy Spirit, understand the meaning of the gospel. Now He answered that question in verse 11 down through verse 16. Verse 11, He answered and said unto them. Now this is His apostles. This is Peter and John, James, the inner circle. "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to them it's not given." You see right there that we see the sovereign revelation of God. To hear the preaching of the gospel is a great privilege, is it not? But to see and to hear and understand and believe the mysteries of the gospel is the sovereign gift of God. And He gives that to whom He will. Now hold your place there and turn back just a couple pages. Remember, we studied in Matthew 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." There's the key word, revealed unto babes. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." Look at verse 27. "All things are delivered unto Me of My Father, and no man knows the Son But the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Salvation comes by revelation, seeing the glory of God in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's hid these things from some and revealed it to others as it seems good in his sovereign, wise will and purpose. John writes this in 1 John chapter 5. We know the Son of God has come, and he's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. He gives us an understanding to see all of our salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look over just across the page at verse 16. He says to his inner circle, blessed are your eyes, for they see. They see more than just with the natural eye. They see with an eye of faith, an eye of understanding. And your ears, for they really hear the word of God. You imagine hearing God speak through his word to your heart. That's what he does for his people. It's still true today. The gospel is revealed by the sovereign revelation of God the Holy Spirit to our heart. Now look at verse 12. Matthew 13 verse 12. He said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath, or that he says he hath. The preaching of the gospel of Christ is a blessing to the elect of God. It's been given to them, and they want to hear more from the word of the Lord, more about the Lord Jesus Christ, more about his saving mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who have an appetite, those who are hungering and thirsting after the word of truth, they have a desire to hear more of Christ, more of his person and work. But to those who have no appetite, those who are not blessed with the gift of faith, the gospel will only be a burden to the natural man. It will only serve to further harden that heart. That heart. We know the carnal mind is enmity against God. We know the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 13. Therefore I speak. God Almighty speaks. What a blessing. God Almighty speaks to them in parables. Now that's you just think about that for a moment. The Almighty God speaks to his people through his word by his servants. Because I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they have any understanding. Although the natural man has eyes to see, you're looking at me, and I'm looking at you, and you're hearing my words, and I hear your words. The natural man has eyes to see and ears to hear, but he has no eyes of faith. The natural man I'm talking about, that depraved sinner, had no eyes of faith to see the beauty and glory of Christ. To you who believe, he is precious. He's altogether lovely. To those who have no heart of understanding and no love for the gospel of Christ, they have no ears to hear the gospel of Christ, and they have no eyes to see his glory. Now that's us by nature. We read this in the book of Ephesians, Paul writing, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now that's us by nature. We're all, and I know to call someone ignorant, that's pretty offensive, isn't it? But the word of God says we're all ignorant sinners until God is pleased to reveal himself to us. He must do that to us. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You remember we've read many times in 1 Corinthians. Let me just read it to you again. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. The religious Jews, they say, show us a sign. The Greeks, they are intellectual. They want some kind of intellectual wisdom. But Paul said, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but to them that are called, Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The believer sees in Christ and Him crucified how God can be just and the justifier of them who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now look at verse 14 and verse 15. And here is the fulfillment of Scripture. Everything our Lord did in His day, He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that He died for our sins according to the Scripture. How that He was buried. How He was raised again according to the Scripture. Everything our Lord was doing in His earthly ministry, He was doing to fulfill Old Testament Scripture. And in those religious Jews who hated Him and rejected Him and said, away with Him, crucify Him. We have no one as a king but Caesar. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. You remember our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God must enlighten our mind and give us life that we might see. And in them is fulfilled the scripture that says this people's heart is waxed gross. And this is a description of what we are in Adam. In Adam we died. In Adam we sinned. Our heart is waxed gross. It's hardened against the gospel. Our ears are, we don't want to hear about God who was sovereign. God who was almighty. Now the believer does. But the natural man doesn't want to hear about God who is God. Their eyes, they've closed their eyes. They don't want to see anything about the glory and majesty of Christ, His beauty. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I would heal them. What a miracle of grace. But, verse 16, I love that word, B-U-T. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved them even when they were dead in sin. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. What do we see? We see our ugliness. Like, you remember what, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the messenger from heaven said, holy, holy, holy. You remember what he said? Woe is me. I'm undone. When we have eyes that are blessed to see, we see the ugliness of ourselves, the sinfulness of ourselves, and we see the beauty and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified all your salvation? All your hope of salvation? And your ears, for they hear. Oh, to have ears to hear the word of the Lord. The elect of God are blessed to hear the gospel and to see the gospel. They are blessed to believe the gospel by the sovereign, almighty power of God. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? Can't you say with Paul, I am what I am by the sovereign grace of God Almighty alone? It's the grace of God. The difference wasn't found in us. We don't merit anything but His wrath. The difference is found in God. Our salvation is because He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, look at verse 17. Matthew 13. For verily, and that word verily means truly, I say to you, many prophets of the past. We talked about that in our Bible study this morning from Hebrews chapter 11. Many prophets and many righteous men have desired to see those things that you see right now and have not seen them. That is, they didn't see the fulfillment of it in their day. They talked about the coming Messiah and they believed in the coming Messiah, but they didn't see those things fulfilled in their day like John and Peter and Paul did. And have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and they didn't hear that. That is the fulfillment of that promise. They were strong in faith, though, like Abraham, giving glory to God, being persuaded that all that God promised He was able to perform. The prophets of the past saw the gospel by faith. Remember our Lord said of Abraham, you remember our Lord said to those Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, wait a minute, you're not yet 50 years old. How can you be before Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. How did he see it? By faith, by faith. Moses, our Lord said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. All those first five books of the Bible, all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of the books of the Old Testament, all the Old Testament prophets said, someone's coming, someone's coming to him. Give all the prophets witness. Now, let's look at this parable. That kind of set the table for the story here. In verse 18, hear ye the parable of the sower. Oh, may God give us ears to hear the words of this parable. Now, and we'll read back down through this in just a minute. One of the most important lessons we learn in this parable is the importance and necessity of preaching the word of God. The sower went forth and he sowed seed. Now there's going to be no harvest without the seed being sown. I have a little garden back here that I plow up and I plant some seed. But I guarantee you, if I don't plant it, if I don't plow it, and if I don't sow some seed out there, you know what's going to be out there all summer? Thorns, weeds, no fruit. The seed that's sown is the word of God. There has to be seed sown. And the seed that is sown is the word of God. The word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There is no birth without the word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, the gospel of God, is the power of God unto salvation. So there has to be the seed. It says in Luke 8, verse 11, the seed is the word of God, when that parable is given in Luke chapter 8. Now let's establish at least three things before we look at these verses. Who is the one that sows the seed? Well, that's the preacher that's sent of God. Gospel preachers are sent of God to declare the word of truth. That's why he said, the risen Lord said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We place a high premium upon preaching the gospel because our Lord does. He was a preacher of the gospel. You remember Paul charged young Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the word. Don't entertain folks. My soul, we have enough entertainment, don't we? The computer, the iPhone, the iPad, my soul. We have enough entertainment. We don't need entertainment. What we need is preaching the truth. The truth. God has ordained the means of preaching to call out his sheep, to quicken them and to feed them through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, what is the seed that we are to sow? And I've already said this, but I'll repeat it. The seed here is the word of God. The word of God, which is quick and powerful. Did you notice how many times here that talks about hearing the word? Look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word, the word, the word. Down, look at verse 20. He that received seed in the stony place, the same is he that heareth the word. Again in verse 22. He also received seed among thorns, is he that heareth the word, the word. In verse 23, he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word. There's got to be the preaching of the word of God. God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has ordained us to go and preach the gospel to his people. And he will, and he has promised to bless his word. He said, my word will not return unto me void. Not at all. And we know that word, that what you hold in your hand there, that book we call the Bible, 66 books, all 66 books have one message. They have one message. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified is all our salvation. All of our salvation alone has one message. And all this scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's good for us to teach us, correct us. Now, the third thing, who gives the increase? It's the Lord of the harvest. You remember back here, turn a few pages back. You remember back in Matthew chapter 9? It's the Lord that gives the increase. I don't give any increase. I get literature all the time in the mail, and with regular mail and email about how to build a successful ministry. I throw it all away. I put it all in the garbage. The only thing that God will bless, and the only thing that you can call a successful ministry, is not by numbers, is by the message. The message, who is preached there? The Lord Jesus Christ must be preached there alone. The Lord gives the increase. I told you to turn to Matthew 9, didn't I? Verse 37. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Now going back to my garden illustration, I can plow and plow and fertilize and plant and water. I cannot do one thing to make that little seed grow. God must give the harvest. That's the same thing He does with the word being preached. That's why we're always preaching Christ, preaching Christ. Now, it's my responsibility as a preacher called and sent of God to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the result and the fruits of the preaching is not in my hand. It's in His hand. It's in His hand, not mine. You remember what the apostle said this. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, God gives the increase. What is a successful ministry? It's not in numbers. It's preaching Christ. It's preaching Christ. Whether we preach to 5 or 6 or 5 or 600 or 5 or 6,000. I'm not interested in filling this building up. I can do that in 1 week. Guarantee you. I can fill this place, have it running over in 1 week. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in preaching Christ. And He'll call out His people. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw my people to me. And that's what we do, lift up Christ. It's the sovereign will of God that determines who believes the gospel and who does not. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. Now, there are four kinds of hearers mentioned in this parable. The Lord tells us what happens when the gospel is preached. Every one of us here fall into one of these four groups. Each one of us here are described in one of these categories. The first thing He mentions here is a wayside hearer. You remember back at verse 4? When He sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls, the birds of the air, they came down, and as soon as they saw that seed falling upon the hard ground, they came down and they ate it up. And then when He gives us the interpretation in verse 19, hear the parable of a sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of His grace, and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one. We know that is Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the wicked one, and he catches away that which is sown in his heart, is he that received the seed by the wayside. There is the casting of a seed and the preaching of the gospel. This is the careless and thoughtless hearer of the word of God. They hear the word but have no interest. They have no spiritual understanding and no spiritual interest in the gospel of God. And immediately the fowl of the air, or the fowls of the air, or the fowls of the wicked one, Satan, comes and quickly diverts our attention to someone else or something else, and the word preached has no lasting effect. It does not bear any fruit unto the glory of God. The second group he mentions here is the stony ground hearer. He says in verse 5, some of this seed is the word of God, fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, but because they had no deepness, no soil of the earth. And then he gives the interpretation here down in verse 20 and 21. He that received the seed into stony places is the same that, again, they hear the word. They hear the word of the Lord, the gospel of God, and anon, and that word means immediately or at once, they receive it with joy, yet they have no root. They're not rooted and grounded in Christ. They endure for just a little while, but when tribulation comes because of the gospel, or persecution arises because of the word, that is because of the gospel, by and by they're offended. They become ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Now these people here, they hear the sermon, and immediately they receive it. They say, well, that's so, that's true. And they even joy in it for just a little bit. They even may profess to say, well, I believe that. I believe those 5 points, depravity, election, unconditional election, perseverance, limited atonement. I believe those things, yet not rooted and grounded in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when trials are sent of God and the heat of persecution comes over the gospel, by and by they're offended and they're ashamed of the truth, the sovereign grace of God, and eventually they have no use for the gospel. And they depart from the preaching of the word. I've seen it happen more than one time over the 40 years I've been in the ministry. While true believers are never ashamed, never embarrassed over the gospel, and they persevere in the gospel because they're kept by the power of God. We studied in Hebrews chapter 10. Remember, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But Paul said, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of our soul. Saving faith perseveres in the gospel. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed, therefore I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Gentile. Now, here's the third one that's mentioned, the thorny ground hearer, verse 7. And some of this seed that was sown fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up, and the thorn just choked out the plant. Now, when I plant my garden back here, I have to weed it all the time. And if I don't weed it, those weeds just, I don't know why they grow so fast. But they just grow up so fast around the corn and the beans, whatever. If you don't keep them, it'll choke out that little plant. You got to take out the weeds. The thorny ground here, now verse 22, is he also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. Again, they hear the word, the truth. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, choke out the influence of the word, and they become unfruitful. Unfruitful. The thorny ground here. These people receive the seed of the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches of this world, the love of money, choke out and crowd out the gospel influence upon them. And the gospel influence becomes, the gospel becomes of no effect unto them, and they become unfruitful. Unfruitful in the way. If you look back at Matthew chapter 6, we'll see something of that. Look back at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. This is Matthew 6, verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. No man can serve two masters, verse 24, for either hate the one and love the other, hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, 33, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first Christ and his gospel. Christ and his gospel. Set your affection on things above. Paul, or John rather, writes this in 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And this world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now, whatever that is, doing the will of God, I want to do it. What is principally doing the will of God? Believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting him. Now, I saved the best for last. The fourth group that he mentions here. The good ground hearer, verse 8. Matthew 13, verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. They brought forth fruit. Now the good ground hearer, verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it and bears fruit. Notice it's singular, fruit, not fruits. Fruit, fruit. Now we know that no man's heart is naturally good, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. God must give us a new heart. God must give us and make us a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Because no man naturally, we hear people all the time say, well, he had a good heart. You've heard that statement. Well, I know what he's saying. He was a good old guy. I mean, he was just one of the, he's just one of the boys. And I know what they mean, but speaking from the scriptural standpoint, there's none good, no, not one. If God is pleased to do a work in our heart and to quicken us and to give us a hunger and an appetite for the word of the Lord, that's all his doing. God, who has begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perfect it. God must do a work in us that we might hear and see and receive the gospel by faith. Those who have this heart prepared of God are those who are convicted of their sin. We realize that we are guilty before God, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These who have their heart prepared by God are convinced that they are sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. They're convinced that their only hope of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ is all our salvation. He's not some of it. He's all of it. And they're given an understanding about the things of the gospel revealed in Christ. He gives us an understanding of who he is. And who we are, and what the Lord Jesus Christ in his person, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, and what he's accomplished for us. They're no longer going about to establish a righteousness of their own, but rather these good ground hearers who've had their heart prepared by God have submitted unto the righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel. We've submitted to Christ as all our salvation. And they bear fruit. Notice it's not fruits, plural. They all bear fruit. Some more, some less, but they all bear fruit. They all bear fruit. You remember this scripture? Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. Some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. They all bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their heart, in their life. Not the same quantity, but the same quality. The same quality. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Our Lord said this in John 15, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." He said again in John 15, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever shall ask of the Father in my name, I'll give it to you." Now, upon which ground do you hear the gospel? Think of it in your mind. Upon which ground do you hear the gospel? We all fall into one of these four groups. And I think, just being honest, I think I see myself in all four of these groups from time to time. I see myself in all of these groups. We all fall into these different categories. Pray that the Lord will prepare our heart to receive His word and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our salvation and give us a good hope through grace revealed in Christ. And that's what our hope is. I thought about this scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. When Paul says, "For this cause also we give thanks without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe." You see, this word of God being preached and blessed with the Holy Spirit has a positive effect upon God's elect. They want to hear more. Tell me more. Tell me more about our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.